Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you could join us. Coming up, we're going to talk some college basketball, talking about Notre Dame's win over Syracuse. We'll also talk more girls' state finals action. Kip Wessner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine will join us later in the hour. Right now, though, we turn it over to the star of the show. It's Network Indiana's Brendan King.
Coach, you are the best. Let's get right to it. There's a lot to talk about. The IHSAA girls' basketball state finals. Let's begin from bottom to top. It started this morning with Class A. Lanesville repeats, beating Marquette Catholic 51-43. We'll toss it to Rob Blackman on the IHSAA Champions Radio Network.
51-43. 4 seconds, now three. Marquette Catholic will get a shot at the buzzer. It will be no good. And the Lanesville Lady Eagles are back-to-back state champions.
Back-to-back indeed, Rob Blackman. That toss to 2A, where what a year it has been for Fort Wayne Bishop Lures. A football state title in the fall. A girls basketball state title at the start of winter. Brian Jennings on the Champions Radio Network.
Annika Davis will bring it out, and Bishop Lures will have won their seventh state title in girls basketball history, tying Heritage Christian for the most number of state championships, Coach, in IHSAA history.
That's when we went to break, and 3A took stage. Gibson Southern by a triple over Norwell, 63-60. The play-by-play voice of the Indianapolis Colts, Matt Taylor, also on the call for this one.
They're setting a screen, top of the key. They get it in to Johnson. Johnson right side to Filling. Deep three at the buzzer. Off the side of the rim, no good. And for the first time in program history, the Gibson Southern Titans are state champions in girls basketball.
And for the first time as well, 4A Lawrence Central, their first time in the game, period. Their first time walking away with a state championship. They hammer Lake Central in the Battle of the LCs, 55-28. This was the call on the Champions Radio Network from Mark Forster.
Kaylee Skirka, the freshman for Lake Central. No, Lawrence Central the board. They just have to bring it across half court as the other way they're going to try to lay it in. Lake Central gets the board. They'll hold it, and Lawrence Central does it. 25 straight all the way to Cambridge Fieldhouse to secure the 2024 4A title.
What a run, what a day, four state champions crowned in downtown Indianapolis. Let's get to some college basketball, where once again the Indiana Hoosiers struggle shooting the basketball, falling to Penn State 83-74. Indiana missed 11 free throws. They went 2 of 15 from outside. Indiana is 14-13. Next up, hosting Wisconsin. Really, the only positivity of the day, to be honest with you, in college hoops, Indiana State goes back-to-back, beating UIC 88-73. That's two consecutive wins for the Trees after they lost back-to-back games. After jumping into the top 25 a couple weeks ago, they have now beaten Valparaiso and UIC consecutively with a record of 24-5. Butler played well at periods in Seton Hall, but lose to the Pirates in Big East play 76-64. Dogs are now 16-12. Bulldogs have hit a rough spot, losers of four in a row. The day started with Notre Dame competing well with Syracuse, but ultimately the Orange pull off the win against the Irish 88-85. Eastern Michigan got the best of Ball State 58-56. It was Murray State crushing Valpo 80-68, and Western Illinois earns the win against Southern Indiana 82-76. Top 25 basketball, Kentucky put up 117 points. Boy, they hammered Alabama 117-95. Number 2 Houston held on against number 11 Baylor in overtime 82-76. It was UIND beating Rockhurst 89-74. Grace puts up a century mark on Mount Vernon Nazarene. They win it 100-77. Spring Arbor over St. Francis 93. 381. It was Indiana Southeast topping Miami Middleton 91-54. Indiana East 84, Midway 67. Huntington got the best of Goshen 81-73. And Marion a good win over Indiana Wesley in 94-84.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Dr. Lynn Clark from Irish 101 joins me. Notre Dame over Syracuse today, 88-85 in ACC play. Lynn, thanks so much for the call. That's a very impressive win for the Irish today.
Well, Bob, it was actually Syracuse winning 88-85, and Micah Shrewsbury does not believe in moral victories. But if he did, this afternoon in Syracuse would be an example of one, as Notre Dame made a frantic comeback after being down by 29 points in the first half to cut the lead to one possession with 1 minute to play in the game. The comeback was spearheaded by the freshman duo of Marcus Burton and Brandon Shrewsbury, who combined for 46 of Notre Dame's 85 points. Burton with a game-high 28 points and 8 assists, while Shrewsbury's 18 came on 6 three-point shots. Indianapolis native Tay Davis also scored in double figures. He had 12 points in the loss. But, Bob, in the second half, Notre Dame scored 56 points, shot 68% from the field, 67% from three, had 12 of their 16 assists, and almost came off with the biggest comeback in Notre Dame history for a victory.
That's phenomenal. It really is. They are playing better, aren't they? It may not necessarily reflect in the record, but they seem to be putting some things together right now, especially in the second half, for heaven's sakes.
Well, Notre Dame had a three-game win streak snapped, but they are playing very good basketball. Really, the difference in the game, Notre Dame in the first half, they had too many turnovers. 17 turnovers in the game that led to 31 points off of turnovers for Syracuse. That was the difference. Syracuse also shot lights out, over 50% from the field. Notre Dame is now 10-17 overall, 5-11 in ACC play. They're back on the hardwood this Tuesday at home against Wake Forest, who had a big win over Duke today. But as you said, Notre Dame is starting to play well. It was just that one half. But if you take a look at the second half, good things set to come with that ACC tournament just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, and it is, you know, as crazy as it is, that's a type of half that can propel you and give you a great lift as you go into the tournament. Man, that's, yeah, they lost, but they had to feel good coming out of it, knowing that if you can just string that together more than one half, we got something we can talk about.
Well, Micah Shrewsbury said it well in the post-game press conference. You know, they played well in the second half, but at Notre Dame, there are no moral victories. Marcus Burton was pretty much shut down much of the first half. He had, I believe, 8 points at the end of the first half, but then just a phenomenal job in the second half, as well as the whole team. They are playing well. They'll remember this game. Be a catalyst to know what they can do, being down 29 points, coming back within possession. Look for Notre Dame to make some noise. They've got 4 games left, 2 games at home, Wake Forest and Clemson. Then they go on the road to finish up, I believe, against North Carolina and Virginia Tech. And then the ACC tournament in Washington, D.C. But don't count out Micah Shrewsbury. The kids are starting to get it now.
That's great. That's great news. All right, tell me something I need to know about the football team.
Well, football, we just had a couple of conferences with some assistant coaches. Mike Denbrock is back at Notre Dame after a stint down at LSU. They're getting ready, I believe, March 7th to begin spring drills. But, you know, women's basketball is playing well right now. They're on the road. They play at BC tomorrow. They're 20-6 on the year, 10-5 in the conference. It's a noon tip tomorrow. And then lacrosse started their season. The defending national champions are 2-0 with victories over Cleveland State and Marquette. They host Georgetown at home tomorrow in a big game. And then Notre Dame baseball is off to a 4-1 start. So you add the good spring sports, how they're doing right now, and then football right around the corner. So look for good things at Notre Dame in the next couple of weeks.
He is the man, Dr. Lynn Clark from Irish 101. Syracuse beats the Irish 88-85 today. Lynn, thanks so much for the call. Have a fantastic week.
You too, Bob.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Brendan King, I've missed you. Give me an update on anything I need to know that I don't know already.
Well, I think the last update, Coach, which I covered, was Butler ended up falling by 12. Didn't really tell the story of the game.
Right.
Seton Hall went to the free throw line a bunch. So, yeah, your only positivity, literally, Coach, if you're talking Division I men's basketball, Indiana State had no issue with UIC, 88-73. Besides that, you are racking up some losses.
These things happen, quite frankly.
They do.
But we can get inspired that the Boilermakers will be in action tomorrow and hopeful that they will get on the right track and continue to play well against Michigan. So, but it's been a long day. Tough luck for the Hoosiers. Once again, got to shoot the ball. We've had that discussion. All right, short break. Mr. King and I'll come back and talk some more ball on Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Brendan King with this Network Indiana Scoreboard Update here on Indiana Sports Talk. Some more college basketball scores to get to. This one out of the Division III world in overtime. Hope holds on against Trine, 72-68. That is your lone overtime action in Division III ball tonight. Anderson crushed Hanover 90-73 as Wabash took care of Worcester 75-64. It was Olivet Nazarene out of Illinois topping Calumet 84-67. St. Mary of the Woods, no issue with Oakland City 87-68. IU South Bend, they annihilated Judson 94-67. It was Bethel over Taylor 81-73. And Indiana Northwest, they beat Roosevelt, final of 81-70. You got to get some of this in. Let's talk some spring training baseball. Some scores from Arizona and Florida today. Chicago Cubs over the San Francisco Giants 8-4. Former South Bend Cub Brennan Davis had a home run in the game. The Cincinnati Reds blanked the Cleveland Guardians 4-0. And the Chicago White Sox overcame the Seattle Mariners 8-7. It was the Milwaukee Brewers over the San Diego Padres 11-7. And high scoring, the Philadelphia Phillies over the Toronto Blue Jays in Florida 14-13. Nobody scored as much, though, as New York and Detroit. The Yankees over the Tigers 22-10 earlier today. Coming up 11:30 and 11:45, we're going to recap everything you need to know from the IHSAA Girls Basketball State Finals that concluded in downtown Indianapolis just a couple hours ago.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Brendan King, welcome back. So let's talk about your Bulldogs. You told me that Seton Hall put a little run on them in the second half. The Dogs didn't shoot the ball particularly well.
Well, that's the first thing. Yeah, Dogs shoot 38% from the field today. They actually were pretty good from inside or from outside the three-point arc, that is, and they made their free throws. But, yeah, Seton Hall shot 50%. They made their free throws. They got a couple 20-point games. And, again, they made a bunch of free throws down the stretch. So it does finish as a 12-point game, right, 76-64. But I don't think that really tells the story of everything we saw today in New Jersey.
Well, all right, so what's left on their schedule?
Well, what's left is you're going to have to get on track pretty quickly, Coach. And I realize that there is time, but listen, you are getting towards the month of March, and you have dropped four in a row after a pretty nice run there where you had won 5 of 6, just like that, a four-game losing streak. Rick Pitino and St. John's, they come in on Wednesday. You got to go to DePaul next Saturday, which is a little spooky, Coach. Again, DePaul, they're really playing for pride right now, and that's not going to be an easy road game in Chicago at all. And then you finish off the regular season with Xavier inside Hinkle Fieldhouse on March the 6th. So you got three to go. You got to go to the Big East tournament. Now, again, there is time, but the Butler was in Joe Lenardi's last four in of the NCAA tournament bracketology picture, and you can expect with a four-game losing streak, Dogs may be on the outside looking in come Monday.
Yeah, Lenardi's pretty good.
Yes,
in terms of his, I mean, he really is, quite frankly, and I think it addresses a couple of things. One, how hard it is to win in the Big East. Big East is difficult, and secondly, you know, Thad Skids had been playing well, as you point out, but it is a fleeting thing. It really is, and It's just there is time. They can get themselves in. And I'm that's not a team, to be honest, I wouldn't want to play them in Big East play. I wouldn't want to play them in the NCAA tournament, quite frankly. I really wouldn't. I think we're looking at a situation in the state where it's, you know, quite possibly Purdue might be the only team to get in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Indiana State will get in, Coach.
Oh, Indiana State has a chance.
I think they're going to win their league. Yeah. But, you know, that is a good point, Coach, because here's the thing about Indiana State. If they don't win the Missouri Valley, they're not going to get an at-large bid anymore.
I think the Valley will be a one-bid league,
it will
quite
be.
Frankly.
It will be. Well, it had a chance to be two until those back-to-back losses 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
they
took care of business tonight against UIC. But, yeah, what you say is true, Coach. You know, Indiana State at 24-5, if they didn't lose to Illinois State and then the following game as well, you know, they have a chance maybe at an at-large if they get lucky. But, no, they got to win the Valley, no doubt.
No, because the committee does not want mid-major conferences represented. Just saying, they don't. You know, there's. It's, hey, I worked in a mid-major conference for 7 years. I think I understand what's going on. So when you look at the composition of the committee, the men's basketball committee, which we refer to as the selection committee, but that's technically the men's basketball committee, has 11 members, six of whom will be power conference representatives. You tell me, how are they going to vote? How are they going to look at things? Knowing full well that the money comes from the tournament. So right. Your conference makes more money. The more teams get in from their conferences, the more money they make. So it's logical. So, yeah, it's difficult for the Valley. It's difficult for the Horizon League. When I was in charge of all the basketball, we had a situation where we sent multiple teams 3 straight years at one stretch, which is what they, you know, that was kind of the mission I was on to try to help them do, and we were able to do it. But you find out very quickly how the game is played in terms of the committee and the selections. And so you don't want to be like an Indiana State. The problem you have is someone's going to make that decision for you. And you had a chance, and you still do have a chance to control your own destiny, but the one difficult thing is you'd prefer not to have a group of people making that decision for you. And I think they're a good team. I think they're capable. I think they frankly deserve to be in, and let's hope they can continue to play at the level they're playing. So that's it. All right. So college basketball. Now you have, like you mentioned, the Hanover and Anderson score.
Mm-hmm.
That was the championship game of the HCAC tonight.
How about that,
brother? That's exactly what that was. And so congratulations to the Ravens, because that'll put them in the Division III national tournament. So good for them. Absolutely good for them. And I'm afraid, I hope that wasn't, but the Trine loss might keep them out. So they may get in as an at-large, but it's that time of year where we're trying to figure out who's going to be playing and what's happening and all of that good stuff. And so more than anything, congratulations to the girls' champs. And be out there on Tuesday to watch the boys begin. And next weekend, it's always one of my favorite weekends of the entire year when we do sectional semifinals and sectional championships. It's a great time of year, even for a guy who's a former hockey player.
Former is the correct wording, for sure. That is my past life.
Yeah. A guy from Illinois who played hockey. and we got you on Indiana Sports
Talk.
You have learned quite a bit in a short time being associated with Indiana Sports Talk. Well, you've learned what it's all about.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. It's because you assigned me to these things like Tuesday at Media Day for the girls' basketball, and I get to learn firsthand from people. I was listening to a bit of the show last night, Coach, and it was very nice of Kip Westner to shout me out. Got to meet him for the first time on Tuesday. Very kind man. Very hardworking guy. But also, you know, I get to do these interviews, just step in for you while you enjoy some sunshine.
Right.
And, you know, I get to learn firsthand, Coach. I mean, that's where it's
I apologize for not prepping you more.
No. No need.
You know, it's one of those things where after the semi-states and prior to the state championships in boys and girls basketball, the coaches come to Indianapolis for a day with the media, a morning with the media, while the administrators have their administrative meeting with the IHSAA and with Gainbridge Fieldhouse and their personnel to go through the tournament, you know, pass out tickets and talk about locker rooms and where you're parking and what uniform, you know, all the administrative details of a tournament. And while that's going on, the coaches meet with the media. And what I forgot to tell you is, you know, each coach will be at a table, and then the media just rolls in and starts, you know, sticking a microphone in somebody's face. And you have print media, and you have television, and you have radio. And each one of those particular divisions, they look at their jobs differently. I mean, the print guys think they're writing the great American novel. And so, you know, they're sitting here. No. They'll sit there and ask a coach, so tell me about your third grade basketball coach and that whole experience. And you're sitting there thinking, a situation you're in, I need 5 minutes of your time for a radio interview to put on a radio show that a quarter of a million people are going to listen to. And while you're asking them how they did back on their fourth grade team as a player, and when did you know you wanted to do all these, you know, these inane questions from the print guys. So now I'm not a print guy. I'm a radio guy. So that's just how it goes. But, you know, you need to be prepped going into that. And I should have done that. Brendan King coming up. Scoreboard update. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Brendan King with this Network Indiana Scoreboard update here on Indiana Sports Talk. Girls basketball state finals at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. The day started with Class A and Lanesville going back-to-back. Their win over Marquette Catholic, who earned a couple state championships just prior to the 2020s. Lanesville 51, Marquette Catholic 43. Class 2A then took stage where Fort Wayne Bishop Lures knocked off Brownstown Central 44-36. What a year it's been for Lures. Football state title back in November. Girls basketball state title here in the month of February. We'll see what the rest of the year awaits for Lures, who earns the title for the 260. Class 3A was your closest game. Gibson Southern holds on against Norwell 63-60. Gibson Southern's first girls' state title. And in Class 4A, Lawrence Central crushing Lake Central. The battle of the LCs, 55-28. Lawrence Central, their first time in a state title game and their first girls' basketball state title. There were some boys' basketball games played today. Central Christian defeated MTI Knowledge 56-42. Horizon Christian over Mooresville Christian 64-61. It was Kip Indy Legacy, the win over Indiana Math and Science 59-49. LaVille annihilated Trinity Greenlaw 50-26. Medora 58, Eminence 42. It was Pioneer knocking off West Central 58-35. And Terre Haute South took care of Columbus North. That was a final of 58-51. Again, the latest college hoops game to go final. Butler falls to Seton Hall, 76-64.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. What a great night to be a Wabash Little Giant. Wabash, three straight years, they've won the NCAC tournament. Tonight they beat Worcester 75-64. A very happy Kyle Brummett joins me. Coach, congratulations on the three-peat. What a tremendous accomplishment for you and your guys.
Yeah, Bob, thanks so much for doing this and having us on. We've had a really fun year. We struggled early, and you know, these guys, they were used to winning. So I'll be honest, I was pretty proud of the fact that they didn't handle struggling real well. And you know this, that complacency and that inner drive to follow through on what you're used to, it sometimes is all you need. And our older guys, they really let us coach them hard, and they deserve this. So it's we've won the conference tournament three times. You remember that Final Four team, Jack Davis and Tyler Watson senior year. Like, they had never won the NCAC tournament, never hosted it, had never won the league. Now we've won the league 2 out of 3 years and won the tournament 3 years in a row, so it's a lot to be proud of.
You mentioned Jack Davidson. I spent a couple of days with him. I'm actually in Florida, and so I spent a couple of days with Jack down here. And when we were talking about your team, we were talking about the season you had. He loves you, and he should, and you know I do. And this is a tremendous accomplishment. Amani Jones goes back to back on MVP. And these guys, look, they played in the Final Four. Those guys, they want their careers to end on a similar fashion. That's what's driving these guys.
Absolutely. And, Jack was in the house today, social media world, that they get excited when they see the all-time leading scorer. And so do our guys, that's the culture that we built. We had alums from the 1982 team in the house today. Chris Denary was there. Wabash is a special place, and, Coach Petty built an awesome tradition. We've been able to build on it. And we had an unbelievable crowd today. Over 1,500 people. I think our place, don't tell the local fire marshal, I think it seats 1,200. And that's what small college athletics, small college basketball is all about. You know that better than most. These guys, Amani Jones, Pike High School, Sam Comer, Danville, Avery Beaver, Lafayette Jeff, Idris Redmond, Chittard. I mean, those seniors, they started and they played in the Final Four. They had a great season last year. We didn't have any seniors. And, we had some struggles this year. A lot of it was just kind of finding our way and putting our pieces of the puzzle together. It also had to do with the coach. We played a really tough non-conference schedule. I mean, we played five of our non-conference losses were teams that were first in their conference, number one seeds in their conference tournament, or at large teams for our NCAA tournament. So we didn't make it easy on them, and it was tough in December and early January, but we've won 12 in a row, and I would say that schedule played a big part in having enough toughness to grind our way through the NCAC.
Can you get some love from the committee to host a game?
Probably not. We didn't win enough against those other NCAA tournament teams,
right.
So we'll be going on the road, and that's okay. I mean, Wabash will travel. So,
Will.
2 years ago, they sent us to Atlanta, and we had a bigger crowd than the host school. I don't anticipate having to go that far, but you know how it is. You're in Florida for a reason. The weather's weather's nice in the South. So
yeah,
if that's what they want to do, we'll be ready to travel.
Well, I'm happy for you. You know that. You find out Monday what's going on. Wabash wins the NCAC championship for the third straight year. They beat Worcester 74-64. Kyle Brummett, you are the man. Congratulations and good luck, and we'll talk next week.
All right, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. Speaking of the man, he's actually here. It's Kyle. It's Kip Westner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine. Kip, thanks for the call. What a great day at Gainbridge Fieldhouse with the girls' championships. And before we talk about that, how about the Wabash story? How about the job Kyle Brummett does there year after year?
No, it's great. And listen to those Indiana high school kids that are you know, enjoying the next level of college basketball. That's what they all strive to do. And just like with our top 60 workout that we're going to have next week for the girls, you know, a lot of the girls are committed, but there's still some players out there looking for an opportunity. And when you've got excellent college basketball in the state of Indiana. In fact, I heard you with Coach Draben talking about the Crossroads game. What is it, 4-5 with them and Marion? I was at Marion today between the sessions of the girls' finals at IWU. So Jim Brunner, I don't know if he called to give you a report, but Marion was able to get a sweep. The Marion girls, or I'm sorry, the Marion women, I learned that from Gary Donna many years ago. The Marion women, they went undefeated through the Crossroads and were able to, I think Indiana Wesleyan had two losses, and they both came to Marion, number two and number four in the country. So, yes, very good basketball. And we had Ella Collier from Marion pictured on the front cover of the Hoosier Basketball Magazine, and they really excelled. And then on the men's side, you know, Scott Hetty does such a great job with the Marion men. That Indiana Wesleyan team is very good. They're the number two seed in that tournament, but Marion was able to get them. And just like we were talking about, you got Gus Edgerton and Maximus Gizzi, two players that were top 60 players at Marion University, and then were able to continue their career right there at 30th Street in Indianapolis on the west side. So, but yeah, about the state tournament, Hoosier Basketball Magazine got two of the four number ones, wound up being state champions. So that's 50% is pretty good out of four. And what makes it even better for me, Bob, is I think I know who the number one team in 4A is for the 24-25 issue, and I think I know who the number one in 1A is for the 24-25 issue, because when you have five underclass starters on Lawrence Central and you lose one game and you're cut down the nets, there's probably a good chance you're going to be number one in Hoosier Basketball Magazine again. So
I know I know you're good at your job, but I think that one's easy. I think I could get that one.
Yeah, they are deep and talented and just loaded. And I know I mentioned the top 60 workout a time or two. Chloe Graham, would she have a record for three-pointers made? She'll be at the top 60 senior workout next Sunday. So I'm actually at my office working on the boys because, you know, now that the girls' season's over, we've got to start working on our girls or a boys sectional for next week and getting ready for our boys event. But I'm glad to be on with you, Bob. And like I said yesterday, I missed you on Tuesday, but I hear you're in Florida, and it was a great day at Bankers Life Fieldhouse and a celebration of girls basketball. We'll do it again next year, I hear.
Well, that's what they tell us. That is what they tell us. So I just think it was a great day. There were some, you know, some very impressive performances, great storylines, you know, the Lanesville back-to-back. We know how hard that is, but you endure an injury to your star player early in the game and you hang on and win. Can you hang on through this scoreboard update?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. We'll talk a little bit about the top 60 maybe on the other side.
Yeah, sure. Kip Wessner and I will talk more basketball after this. Final scoreboard update of the night with Brendan King. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Brendan King with this Network Indiana scoreboard update here on Indiana Sports Talk. Your Mental Attitude Award winners from the girls' basketball state finals. It started with Lanesville's Ava Kerr from Class A. Kelsey Snyder from Brownstown Central earned it in Class 2A. Gibson Southern's Allie Malone, the Mental Attitude Award winner from Class 3A. And in 4A, it was Kennedy Burks from Lake Central. Congratulations to all. And as we recap the girls' state finals one last time, 1A Lanesville goes back-to-back, defeating Marquette Catholic 51-43. 2A Fort Wayne Bishop Lures over Brownstown Central 44-36. Lures a football and girls' basketball state championship in the same calendar year. Class 3A Gibson Southern over Norwell 63-60. And in Class 4A, Lawrence Central took care of Lake Central 55-28. A lot of positivity from the girls' basketball state finals. Can't say the same about college basketball around the state today. Your only sense of happiness was Indiana State crushing UIC in Terre Haute 88-73. Trees have won back-to-back games. Since falling out of the top 25, they gear up for Arch Madness and potentially look to make the NCAA tournament. Butler lost to Seton Hall 76-64. Indiana struggled again shooting the basketball, falling to Penn State 83-74. Indiana missed 11 free throws in the game. Elsewhere, Syracuse, the win over Notre Dame 88-85. Eastern Michigan edged Ball State by a pair 58-56. Murray State, no issue with Valparaiso 80-68. Western Illinois, the win over Southern Indiana 82-76. I'm Brendan King.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Kip Westner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine joins me. So tell me about your thoughts on the championships today. I thought the Lanesville story was a great one. Again, losing star player early. They rally. They come back and win. Difficult to repeat anyway when you have your team at full strength. But what a great story that was to start the day.
Well, Lanesville has been, you know, most likely, I guess you would say, the best team in Class A all year. I mean, they won the championship last year. They lost a game, obviously, to Evansville Memorial, but they've been first or second most of the year. And what's interesting is Borden was in that sectional, but you look at what they did to number three Borden, winning that game by 19 points. And I actually asked Coach Hinton about the Scottsburg, which is the last game that they play each year before they start the tournament. They won that game by 19 points, and Scottsburg's a 3A team that won the regional. So they obviously were able to have an outstanding season this year. But like you say, when your best player goes down, you definitely have to handle some adversity and deal with, you know, the struggle of just having other people pick up the slack. And, you know, Marquette Catholic, I think I've mentioned this before, they don't have a senior on their team. Their leading scorer is a sophomore.
Right.
And, the girl is a freshman. The second leading scorer, she had three-pointers to start the game. So it was really a great game. And then in that 2A game, Brownstown Central was about as good as they could be in the first half, and really kind of just their defensive prowess was outstanding. In fact, that's what their hallmark's been all season. And then in the second half, I think that Lures and their length and were able to kind of get to them a little bit. But Lures had a great season. They've got a girl, Addie Shank, that'll be at the top 60 senior workout. So for them to come back and win that 2A game was really good. And then on the 3A, when Gibson Southern is able to, I don't want to say dominate, but they were able to really get out in a big lead, 19 points in the third quarter, but they had so many turnovers that really allowed Norwell to get back in the game, and it comes down to a three-point shot. So that was probably the game of the day. And then the 4A game, what was it, 9-2 or something, first quarter where Lake Central was ahead, but the defensive you know, intensity of Lawrence Central and just the way that Lawrence Central has got so many athletes just, you know, was too much for Lake Central. So it was a great day. Like I said, Hoosier Basketball Magazine had two of the number one teams, and Lures, I think, was rated 8 in the magazine, and maybe 6 for Gibson Southern. So we're going to keep struggling or keep working away at our girls struggling with the top 60 workout. You know, 5 of the girls from today will be at the event next Sunday. It's at Beech Grove High School. Starts at 1 o'clock. Admissions $8. It'd be great to have as many people come out and see these young ladies, you know, one last hurrah. I call it a celebration of basketball.
And sure.
Like on the front cover, Allie Harness, she's going to Western Michigan. You've got Reagan Wilson from Noblesville. She's going to Iowa State. Chloe Spring from Bedford North Lawrence won the state last year. She's going to Alabama. Jordan Poole from Fort Wayne Schneider. She's going to Purdue. Faith Wiseman from Indian Creek. She's going to Indiana University. And Julian Woodard from Jennings County is going to Michigan State. So those are the 6 players that are featured on the front cover of the Red Magazine, and all 6 of them are going to be at the top 60 senior workout next Sunday, which, you know, we're thrilled about that. And there'll be some unsigned players and college coaches, and we're just going to keep doing what we do.
He's Kip Westner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine. Top 60 workout next Sunday at Beech Grove High School. Be there. Go online, HoosierBasketballMagazine.com, to find out more info. Kip, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bob.
Coming up, final break, final thoughts. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to save lives. .org is their website. Brendan King, great job tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you, Coach. You too.
So tomorrow we have the Boilermakers taking on Michigan. What time is that game?
2 o'clock, Coach.
All right. We have my IUPUI Jaguars taking on Northern Kentucky. That's a 2 o'clock start, too. Purdue Fort Wayne is playing, I'm trying to remember.
Don't have that one in front of me, Coach.
Who else plays tomorrow? That's it?
I think that's, yeah, those? I mean, that's all I had written down.
Okay, that's it. And then boys sectionals begin on Tuesday. Have you been to a boys sectional?
Have I been to a boys sectional? No, I have not. You know why? Because I... Yeah, well, actually, no, I'll tell you why. Because this is always the week that I go down and I see my folks down in Florida.
At some point, you need to see the sectionals.
That's on the list, no doubt.
It is a it is an absolute must.
I'm sure it is.
Because this time of year, I can listen. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I've been out of high school 50-plus years, so I can still remember it. It was fun. And, you know, we were fortunate to win a couple of sectionals, one when I was a sophomore and one my senior year we were able to win. And I remember like it was yesterday. It was, you know, I was fortunate to have win a few championships as a coach. But, man, you know, I ended my career – as a high school basketball player in the regionals at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know what? It was a tremendous experience knowing that we weren't going to win, but, you know, we still played my final game at Hinkle. And that was part of the dream. You wanted to be able to do that and then move on and take that next step, which I was fortunate enough to do. So, yeah, you got to go. You got to do it. You absolutely have to do it. Tough luck for your dogs. When do the Bulldogs play this week? And who do they?
It'll be Mr. Rick Pitino inside Hinkle Fieldhouse, Coach, on Wednesday night. And St. John's.
Are you there? Are you? No, you're
no,
in Florida.
I'm heading down to have lunch with you, my man. That's why I'm
no,
going
that's
down.
Right. Yeah, you can't. You're gonna miss Pitino. I'll bet the place will be jam packed.
Oh, it'll be huge.
The St. John's.
It'll be
absolutely huge, and that's a game the dogs should win. Quite frankly, that'll be, and they need to.
Got to have it.
They need to get some something going on. When do the Hoosiers play again?
They'll have Wisconsin, Coach, on Tuesday night.
Ooh. They didn't – how many – what was their free – they shot what at the
free
throw
line today? 11 free – they went 14 of 25. They missed 11 free throws.
Oh, my. He's Brendan King. Thank you, Brendan. Great job. Great
job. See you this week, Coach.
Oh, thanks so much. Great job, Nathaniel Finch, as always. Thank you so much to our great stations around the state that bring you the show every Friday and Saturday night. And also thanks to all of you for making us the most listened to sports talk show in the state's history. It is the history-making legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.